con el under $3 menu de McDonald's, un McChicken es solo $1.50. Resulta que ser el héroe de tu primita solo te cuesta $1.50. Por un McChicken, good deal. Solo por tiempo limitado. Precios y participación pueden variar. Precios con entrega pueden ser más altos.
Ready to put a little spin on your day? Then check out Chumba Casino's new online social casino game, Ryan Seacrest 10K Ways. It's free and packed with 10,000 ways to play. Only at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today here on SportsGrid, SportsGrid.com. Craig Mish, Davis Maddock, our full NFL coverage of the 2021 NFL Draft is right around the corner. 2 weeks, we'll have it covered for you and start talking about it next week every single day here on the show, going through all of the possibilities. As Davis, we have a full slate of baseball going on. We heard yesterday that Teoscar Hernandez of the Toronto Blue Jays was placed on the COVID list. Today, it is Andrelton Simmons of the Minnesota Twins. I know that I think I saw a story yesterday, as a matter of fact, that games played in Buffalo this year in the NFL, you're going to be required as a fan to show that you have been vaccinated. And I think that's the first I've heard of this at a sporting event. And I wonder, in your opinion, not if it's right or wrong, but I wonder, in your opinion, do you think that this will be for all NFL stadiums this year or just in New York?
Probably won't be just in New York. My guess is that they'll probably do this in California. You know, they'll probably do this in some of the other Eastern Seaboard style states. But my, you know, Texas, Missouri here in Missouri, not a chance. No way will there be vaccine passports to get into the games. But I don't know 30-40% of them now, and I think it'll be also state by state in terms of, like, it sounds like in Buffalo they're just going to let as many people buy tickets as they want. My guess is there'll be reduced capacity in some of the other stadiums. It'll kind of just be a case by case basis.
Yeah, and the other thing I wonder too is that somebody buying tickets and then gets to the stadium and can't provide that vaccination card, then what? Do they get their money back, or do they have to sign something before you buy the ticket stating if you don't, you don't get the money back? I don't know. Kind of a strange deal. No OTAs for a lot of teams too, so hopefully things get cleared up a little bit come the summer. Let's get to our headlines here as we start off the show. Full day of baseball games begins right now, so updates throughout the show for you on that. Whoever hits a bomb, we will tell you. Nets Sixers, huge game tonight. Could be an Eastern Conference Finals preview, unless Milwaukee or Miami has something to say about that. Justin Fields' second pro day happening today, and expecting to run some 49ers plays. They could be potentially interested in him or Mac Jones. Olympic baseball qualifying going to be held here in my neck of the woods in South Florida, an hour away. Ballpark of the Palm Beaches, St. Lucie. Those are two stadiums that I've been to many times. And then Conor McGregor is going to fight again, and we'll get suckered into buying it again, July the 10th in Las Vegas. You know, there was an interesting post I saw today, Davis, on social media. I was wondering what you thought about this. I believe it was Chris Mortensen, who's arguably a Hall of Fame reporter for ESPN, has covered the NFL forever. What a great guy, too. But, like, kind of an odd, and maybe I didn't see, I only saw a minute, so maybe I didn't see the entire context. But there was some concern that because Justin Fields, I guess, was a former baseball player, that some of his mechanics were not conducive to playing quarterback in the NFL. And I saw that. I watched it again and thought, okay, I must be missing the entire interview. And that's not doing a good job by me to not go back and watch the entire thing. But just in that little 30-second clip that I watched, I thought, what in the world? Kyler Murray was with the A's. He was supposed to play for the A's, like, just recently. And had a fine transition into the NFL, not to mention Russell Wilson, too. So I don't know about that, but definitely Fields is one of the more intriguing names going into this draft.
How about another one? Tom Brady, University of Michigan baseball team as well. I mean, it's literally, like, all these quarterbacks play baseball. It's the most natural other sport for a quarterback to play. All criticisms of Justin Fields that are about his mechanics, that are about his lack of ability past the first read, it's none of it is real. That does not represent what he did on the field at Ohio State. You know, people worry about him running too much, like that. That's a one I heard. Actually, the opposite is true. Justin Fields stayed in the pocket too much at Ohio State and forced the ball down the field way more often than he took off in scrambling. My general take is that people have either not watched Justin Fields, don't know what they're watching, or are just parroting what they've heard other people who have not watched right. Justin Fields say. That the criticism of him, it's all bad. He should be the number two quarterback off the board. I think Zach Wilson going ahead of him, it seems very stupid to me. And I think that, you know, 4 or 5 years from now, that will be vindicated, because these criticisms are just absurd, honestly.
Yeah, I just can't imagine, if I thought 6 months ago, and I know that Ohio State was limited in their play, but anybody who watched Justin Fields play at Ohio State, how can you possibly think that Wilson or Mac Jones is better than that guy? Like, I mean, it is. And how can anybody think Wilson is better than Trevor Lawrence? Like, these are some of the things that I'm hearing. And I'm like, I am just so happy that I'm sitting here with you, Davis, doing this and not having to concoct stories to just shake up things in the NFL draft, because that's what it's got to be. Like, how could anybody who watched those guys play possibly think that? I stunning to me. But again, I do cover baseball. And sometimes in Davis, as you know, in the world of the hot stove, things are made up because they have to be to get the stove hot. And I've seen, I don't do that, but I've seen that before. And I've seen just like these, oh, this team's interested in this team. I feel like that's happening now for the draft. People are just stirring to stir because this is what they do. They cover the draft, I guess. I don't know. Well, there was so much interest in the Masters last week that I am sure that people are in a little bit golf overload playing it, watching it last weekend. So the question that we have coming up next is, with the RBC Heritage Tournament coming up, is there an opportunity with some of the best players who played in the Masters last week, not playing this week, to maybe take advantage of that financially? Of course, Davis does this every week over on Daily Roto. We'll get his thoughts coming up next. Who will win the RBC Heritage Tournament and some potential DFS options for you on FanDuel as well? Stay on the grid. We're back in just 2 minutes.
Con el under $3 menu de McDonald's, un McChicken es solo $1.50. Resulta que ser el héroe de tu primita solo te cuesta $1.50. Por un McChicken, good deal. Solo por tiempo limitado. Precios y participación pueden variar. Precios con entrega pueden ser más altos.
Looking for a little Hollywood-style fun? Check out Ryan Seacrest's 10K Ways, exclusively at Chumba Casino. There's 10,000 ways to play. Get spinning for free at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. T&Cs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today. More NFL draft discussion coming up in about 10 minutes. So stay with us here on the grid. All right, Davis. So we had the Masters this past week, and it was a lot of fun. I watched a lot of it. So did you. I think a lot of other people did too. Like, having the Masters back in April was where it was supposed to be. But there is something called overload. And look, if you have a family and you told your wife or your girlfriend or whatever, hey, I'm spending 4 days watching the Masters and I'm going to go play golf, you may forget that this rolls on for a couple months until the U.S. Open comes back. And this weekend, you know, some big names are in this tournament in the RBC Heritage. But I'm wondering, for your perspective in doing this and doing this for Daily Roto, will we see a massive drop off of people trying to enter contests and trying to bet this weekend on golf? Or does that just go unchanged and the ball continues to roll toward the pin?
Well, you will definitely see fewer people register for contests on FanDuel and fewer people place outright, because the Masters is, it is, it's the Super Bowl of golf. You know, people who watch one golf tournament a year, they watch the Masters. You know, everyone downloads the app on their phone. The Masters app, by the way, is fantastic. I mean, there is no doubt about it that even the British Open, the PGA Championship, you know, these other major championship events, they just do not get as much attention as the Masters does. I mean, the US Open is close, but still, that it still is more niche. However, still, I think a pretty interesting event this week, because in terms of the guys that we expect to do well, it's like the exact opposite of the Masters. This golf course, Harbortown, is only a par 71. It's just a shade over 7,000 yards. Compare that to Augusta, par 72, shade over 7,400 yards. There's those massive par fives. Really, if you are not a good driver of the ball at Augusta, you just get crushed, right? Because it's all, you got to be able to cut the trees on the par fives. You got to be able to get it into birdie range on those very long par fours. And Heritage is all about, if you're not a good wedge player, you're dusted, basically.
All right, so let's take a look here at the odds over on FanDuel, the betting odds. And look, Davis, there may be some people not familiar with a couple of these names, so let's dive in a little bit deeper. Not all the major guys are playing. Everyone knows DJ, Dustin Johnson, he's 12-1. Webb Simpson, if you have followed golf at all, you know him, 13-1. Colin Morikawa, same way. Patrick Cantlay to a degree, then it gets crazy dicey. Daniel Berger is 23-1. And look, you have some really nice opportunities potentially to hit on a long shot if you can identify one, Davis. So are there any this weekend for you?
So I think this event is actually fascinating from a betting perspective, because the head of the betting market on FanDuel is Dustin Johnson, world number one. Now, he did miss the cut last week at the Masters, but our friends over at Data Golf, who power the projections at Daily Roto, you know, they do a lot of advanced analysis in terms of, okay, what type of shots does this guy play? What type of course does he do well? What type of holes does he do well? And they have done a huge adjustment for Dustin Johnson this week in terms of his course fit. And they actually don't, not only do they not have him as the favorite to win, they don't even have him as the second favorite to win. They have him as the third favorite to win. They have him winning this event 3.9% of the time, which is, you know, not accurately adjusted in his outright odds, and it's not adequately represented in his FanDuel DFS price either. So this week, if you enjoy some action, if you like to degen it up and bet on golf, it's a fantastic week to bet four or five guys, bet multiple long shots, because one, it's not a super strong field. You know, we don't have a ton of guys in the official world golf ranking top 20, top 30 here, and it's just a course and a course fit for a lot of the best players on tour, because it is so much about accuracy, and you can't take driver on a lot of these par fours due to the hazards that come in play. You know, guys like Matthew Fitzpatrick, guys like Paul Casey, guys like Brian Harman are drawing way more live to win this week than they would be on a normal week. Because, you know, what the PGA Tour did, Craig, is they watched Tiger Woods dominate the sport for 20 years. Then they watched DJ, they watched John Rahm, they watched Bryson. And so every golf course is par 72, 7,400 yards. This is like one of three events they play on tour where guys who are shorter hitters can win.
Yeah, so that would seem to me to give an opportunity. Who were the names here, by the way, before we move on to the DFS?
Yeah, so the guys I have here that I have bet on my personal card, we have Matthew Fitzpatrick at 23-1. Data Golf actually has him with the second highest odds to win this event. So a very good price on FanDuel for him, priced at plus 2,300. Sungjae Im, not like the best course fit in the world, but I would consider him probably the fifth best player in this field. Dustin, Webb, Morikawa, Cantlay, Fitzpatrick, and then I would probably have Sungjae right there, especially considering course fit stuff. Then we have Brendan Todd, a very strong striker of the ball, just again, you know, not hitting drives 300 feet. He actually was going back and forth with Dustin Johnson at an event last year. DJ ended up getting the better of him. And then our long shot is a guy who actually I've had on my podcast, Dylan Fratelli, who has won, not at this event, but at a very similar course, a par 71, 7,000 yard course. He was a winner on the PGA Tour last year, and I think his game is a great fit here.
All right. So now the question, I suppose, is that the betting aspect of it, you made it perfectly clear how to play this thing. Now, is it the same strategy for the DFS side? Let's look at the pricing on FanDuel for the RBC Heritage coming up this weekend. And as you can see, most of the same favorites are right there at the top. So, I mean, I guess that means that we're not in on Dustin Johnson at 12,400 or Simpson at 11, Cantlay over 11, Morikawa you see there, Berger, and then I threw Hatton there at the bottom because he was a little bit different in terms of his odds as opposed to where he stacks up on FanDuel this weekend. So, look, I'm the novice when it comes to this, setting a lineup for this weekend's tournament. Is it basically the same strategy where essentially you ignore the names at the top and try and find some guys near the bottom? Or do you take one of those and pair one of those top guys?
So actually, the way FanDuel does their DFS pricing is very interesting. The average cost of a roster spot on FanDuel is $10,000, right? So if you take a $12,000 guy, that means you need a corresponding cheaper guy. But what you can do is if there's one cheap guy you really like let's say there is a $8,000 guy you really like. So for example, we have Adam Long, who's priced at 8,200, or the aforementioned Brendan Todd, priced at 8,800. If you take two of those guys, you can play all the expensive guys. You can play Webb. You can play Cantlay. You can play Morikawa. You can play Berger. You can play Matthew Fitzpatrick. So in general, what I advise for people playing FanDuel PGA DFS is pick two of the most expensive guys per lineup. So whether that be Dustin Johnson, whether that be Patrick Cantlay, whether that be Webb Simpson, whether it be Morikawa, I think my two favorite guys on FanDuel this week, keeping in mind their projected ownership as well, because that's the most important thing. And I know I just spent literally the last 10 minutes telling you, well, don't take Dustin Johnson. It's not a good course fit for him. He is still the best golfer in the world. He is still literally the number one ranked golfer in the world. On FanDuel, we have him projected to be on about 9 to 10% of rosters. I mean, that just imagine if I tell you can take Patrick Mahomes in, you know, a winner take all DFS tournament, and he's only going to be on 9% of rosters. They could be playing the 85 Bears, and you're taking him.
True.
And that's the same situation here. So at 9% ownership, we are looking to get as much Dustin Johnson as they will give us.
All right, great preview there from Davis for the RBC Heritage coming up this weekend. And as I mentioned, U.S. Open, I believe less than 2 months away. We're also, by the way, a little bit under a month away from one of the other big events going on in the country that's back for 2021, which is the Kentucky Derby coming up in May. Coming up in just 2 weeks from now is the NFL Draft, and we'll cover it for you here on Sports Grid like no other. But the big question is, which is much as Davis likes Trey Lance.
Con el under $3 menu de McDonald's, un McChicken es solo $1.50. Resulta que ser el héroe de tu primita solo te cuesta $1.50. Por un McChicken, good deal. Solo por tiempo limitado. Precios y participación pueden variar. Precios con entrega pueden ser más altos.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Would he dare say he's a better fantasy quarterback moving forward than Justin Fields? Matt Friedman is going to join Davis next. They will discuss that. Also, where Kyle Pitts could end up in the upcoming draft. So stay on the grid. NFL draft discussion is next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today. My name is Davis Maddock, giving Craig Mish a break here, bringing in my good friend Matthew Friedman from the Action Network. It is officially NFL draft season. People are laying down their prop bets. They're publishing their mock drafts. I actually did one all the way back in January, and I haven't changed that much in the order of the players, at least in the top 10, but the teams, they're going to have changed. The big surprise, though, Matt, in terms of where we thought the draft was going to go and the direction the draft is going, is it really does seem like Mac Jones from Alabama is going third overall to the San Francisco 49ers. I don't understand it. I don't know why, but it seems like this is just happening.
Yeah, I mean, it defies logic. I don't know if when you did your mock draft in February, you even had Mac Jones going in the first round.
I did
not. A lot of people didn't. I think I maybe had him going number 20 or thereabouts, you know, to the Bears. But his ascent up the draft board has been irrational and, I mean, unrivaled just in terms of anything that we've seen in recent years. And, it doesn't make sense in terms of the athleticism that he has. Like, he's not an athlete. He doesn't have the arm talent, right? He's not like Zach Wilson throwing bombs. It's not as if he was single-handedly dragging a talentless team into the college football playoffs. He was surrounded by first-round talent all over the field. And yet, it seems as if he's going to go number three overall. And normally, I am not one for buying into a lot of the smokescreen type of news that we see bandied about, especially in April, you know, weeks before the draft. But Adam Schefter is one of the most reliable reporters in the NFL. He's like the gold standard for NFL insider information. And he's backtracked a tad on this, but he is still pretty adamant in saying that he believes it's going to be Mac Jones who goes number three, and Daniel Jeremiah, and who is one of the best, especially at NFL Network, when it comes to NFL draft rumors. He is saying that from everything he is seeing, hearing, he believes it's going to be Mac Jones number three. And then Peter Schrager also has Mac Jones going number three. I mean, it's hard to believe that the three of those guys could all be wrong. They could be. They absolutely could be. I think Justin right. Fields should go number three, and he does have a connection with Shanahan through their time together at QB Collective. Like, there is a reason why you could see it coming together with Fields. But based on everything we're hearing from NFL insiders, I think it is Mac Jones.
The only, you know, big NFL reporter that I have heard say this isn't going to happen is Jason Lockenfora. He reported yesterday that basically the exact phrasing was that the rumors just don't smell right to him, that it seems like, you know, a smokescreen, and they're leaking things out because they want to leave some optionality. Now, you know, I don't, obviously, I would consider Schefter to be the complete gold standard. He is, you know, the Adrian Wojnarowski of NFL reporting. No one really even gets close. And there really isn't even a Shams in the NFL. Like, no one is even close. So if Schefter says it, I pretty much believe that it's true, but it just doesn't make any sense to me. And the other reason that it doesn't make any sense is I don't see a logical team for Justin Fields inside the top 10 if, in fact, the 49ers do take Mac Jones. Because you look at Atlanta, you know, I actually think Atlanta, it would make more sense for them to take Trey Lance if they were taking a quarterback, because they could sit him for a year or 2 years while Matt Ryan plays out the last years of his peak. Cincinnati obviously has Joe Burrow. I think Philadelphia would kind of make sense, but then it was reported that the only quarterback they wanted was Zach Wilson. He's going to go at two to the Jets. Detroit, again, I think it would make more sense for them to take Trey Lance. Carolina has signaled that they are not interested in Justin Fields. So then you get to Denver at number nine. I mean, for fantasy football purposes, this is what I'm now rooting for happening, because Justin Fields, with that cadre of offensive talent, I mean, they would immediately be one of the most fantasy-friendly offenses in football, I think.
Yeah, so it's interesting. On the one hand, there's been research showing that quarterbacks, especially in the mock drafts closest to the NFL draft, quarterbacks are the one group routinely over-mocked. And so you have a lot of people mocking Justin Fields to number four, whether that's the Falcons taking him or a team trading up to number four. And you often see Trey Lance in the top 10. It wouldn't be surprising if we see those quarterbacks over-mocked and you see Fields fall down a little bit and Lance fall down a little bit. That said, I mean, I still have both of them mocked in the top 10 right now. And I just have to think somehow someone moves up. And I'd be curious to hear your thoughts on the Panthers at number eight, because even though they did sign or sorry, did trade for Sam Darnold, you know, he's maybe not the long-term solution there. If one of these quarterbacks falls to them at number eight, conceivably they could still take him. I'm like open to the possibility of that happening, although it does seem a little unlikely. But Fields, I still have him right now slotted at number four, whether that's the Falcons deciding to take a shot on a quarterback for the future or a team trading up. His over under in the prop market right now is 4.5. So I think that is a pretty reasonable spot to have him.
So as it pertains to Carolina, I mean, obviously I think they should take a quarterback. I don't think that Sam Darnold is the answer. I mean, maybe he is, but they gave up three picks to get him, but it wasn't like they gave up, you know, they weren't giving up first. They weren't giving up seconds. Like it wasn't some deal that'll cripple them if Sam Darnold doesn't work out. I mean, they haven't even picked up his fifth year option as of yet. So I think it's a reasonable gamble for them to take. But I also think a gamble NFL team should make more often is just having multiple good quarterbacks on the roster. I mean, we saw the Eagles taking Jalen Hurts last year in the second round, gave them optionality when Carson Wentz played so bad, right? They have a new direction that their franchise can go in without having to draft someone, without having to sign someone in free agency. They have this guy on the roster that they have gained more information on in the year of their career. We saw the Cardinals do this, obviously, with Josh Rosen and then Kyler Murray. I think that both Detroit at 7 and Carolina at number 8, I think both of them should be looking at Justin Fields and Trey Lance extremely heavily, especially if Kyle Pitts goes off the board to Cincinnati. I think Kyle Pitts is enough of a unicorn-style prospect that Detroit should take him, even though they already have TJ Hockenson. Carolina should take him, even though they already have Robbie Anderson and DJ Moore. I just think you get that guy on your team, and then you work kind of like Travis Kelce, right? When Travis Kelce was selected, Alex Smith was the Chiefs quarterback, and they knew he wasn't, you know, the quarterback of the future. They knew he was going to miss a year with the microfracture knee surgery, and they still figured things out after that. I would be curious, though, do you think that Lance is better for these teams to take because he probably is not going to be ready to start year one, and you get your year done with Darnold, with Goff, with Matt Ryan, you know, with even with Drew Lock, right, for Denver? You just, because it's a little bit less of a developmental, you know, breath on the back of the neck of the starting quarterback.
Yeah, it's interesting in Fields versus Lance. I prefer Fields in that I just think he's the superior talent. He's had more years starting. He's played at a higher level. He was really the 1A to Trevor Lawrence when they were both high school recruits coming into college. Lawrence was the number one pocket passer as a recruit, and Fields was the number one dual threat quarterback. Lance is great. He's young. I mean, I think he's sort of like a big Kyler Murray. Like, his fantasy upside is, I mean, it feels almost limitless, but I would still go with Justin Fields because I think he's a better passer and almost as good as a runner.
Yeah, I think that seems about right. The most fascinating to me, the thing of the first round, is not really any of these quarterback selections. I mean, obviously it's interesting to see where Fields and Lance are going to go. It's going to be wild to me when Mac Jones gets drafted over Trey Lance. So I think Trey Lance is like the most, you hear this more in baseball, but like the most toolsy prospect I've ever seen. Cause I think he is just a ball of clay that a smart team can figure out. But last thing, what should the Bengals do? Should the Bengals take Chase? Should the Bengals take Pitts if he's there? Should the Bengals take Sewell? I will just say, I think that they should take Sewell. Even though I buy the argument that you'll draft a better offensive lineman in the second round than you would draft a wide receiver or tight end in the second round.
Yeah, I've had him going with Sewell for the past couple of mocks. I'm still staying there. I think he's a generational type of, maybe not generational, but let's say like once every 10 years type of offensive tackle prospect. Like Tyron Smith is, I think, like his closest comp, just in terms of his age, what he's accomplished, what he can do. He can play right tackle, he can play left tackle. I think he could be the cornerstone of that offensive line for a decade. And he will still be 20 years old when the season starts. Like, you do not pass on a type of talent like that when you have the chance to take him. Ja'Marr Chase, nothing wrong with him, but there will be another receiver like him coming along in a couple of years. Pitts, he's generational. He's a fantastic tight end prospect. If it's not Sewell, I hope it's Pitts.
Yeah, I think that probably makes sense. And I actually think that this is kind of being missed by the Bengals fans. Like, I feel as if it's being presented as a dichotomy where it's either Ja'Marr Chase or Penei Sewell. But I think they should absolutely be focused on Pitts because, you know, I mean, what have we seen? You know, elite tight ends change offenses. Gronk, Kelce, all of these guys, they change the context of the offenses they play in. And I mean, Pitts is not going to block at all. So maybe that is giving Bengals fans some PTSD since they watched Joe Burrow just get the crap beat out of him last year. And that's why I land on Sewell. I know that Pitts is a unicorn, but I land on Sewell. We are going to run into break here real quick on Fantasy Sports Today. We will return in just a few moments with Craig Mish to continue our discussion.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips.
Con el under $3 menu de McDonald's, un sausage burrito es solo $1.50. Así que échale salsa picante o ketchup a tu sausage burrito con todo en McDonald's. Solo por tiempo limitado. Precios y participación pueden variar. Precios con entrega pueden ser más altos.
Hey, it's Bubba Wallace from 2311 Racing. You know what it feels like forever? Sitting on a plane waiting for takeoff. Good thing I've got Chumba Casino. With daily boost and social casino games on tap, this is the kind of fun that makes time fly. Why not turbocharge your downtime? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today. Craig and Davis back here with you. And baseball games are currently underway. Davis, one of those games today between the Washington Nationals and St. Louis Cardinals was stopped after the first pitch, and for good reason. Yadier Molina has caught now officially his 2,000th game in Major League Baseball, which is just incredible. Not 2,000 games, just 2,000 games caught. To think that this guy can still be behind the plate and really in sports, when you think about it, this isn't quite to the level in baseball as it is in the NFL, but to crouch behind that plate, Davis, and do that at such a high level and play for so long. And there are some people who actually think that Yadi is not a Hall of Famer. I think he is. I mean, I can't imagine how you can be the best at what you do in sports and not be in there, but a really special day, I suppose, for him today in St. Louis.
Yeah, and Yadi, a one-team guy, I think those are the sorts of things that should be, I do think you should count that stuff for the Hall of Fame, and I think that counting those things for the Hall of Fame does give current players, you know, maybe just 1% of added motivation. If the money offers are close, you know, let's say our guy Bobby Witt Jr., you know, he's going to get offered this giant contract extension by the Royals at some point. And, you know, sure, the Yankees will pay him more. Sure, the Mets will pay him more. Sure, the Dodgers will pay him more. But maybe if there is maybe that 1% of like, well, if I play for the Royals for 20 years, my Hall of Fame chances go up, you know, just a little bit. Maybe that gives a little bit of hope to some of these small market teams to be able to keep their true, you know, Hall of Fame caliber talents.
Yeah, and hopefully so. In terms of the Hall of Fame, though, you're right. Like, playing with one team gets you such strong backing from that fan base. It does seem to get guys in the Hall of Fame more often. I think Gary Sheffield's a good example of that. I think if he was on one team his whole career, he'd be in the Hall of Fame. He was on, like, 10 teams, and he doesn't have that backing from one fan base. So, also, a quick update. Aaron Judge has homered for the New York Yankees in Dunedin, and they have a 1-0 lead right now on the Toronto Blue Jays. All right, fantasy or reality, let's kick it here over to the NBA. 76ers tonight play the Nets. Both teams are even in terms of record, 37 wins and 17 losses. But the season is coming to an end fairly soon here, Davis. A few more weeks and we'll be talking playoffs. Fantasy or reality, the Sixers will be the number one seed in the East.
So I'm going to say, actually, this is a reality. James Harden still injured. Kevin Durant not playing today due to injury management. Kyrie Irving is back with the team. My guess, though, is that maybe in this game against the 76ers that they play tonight, he actually probably isn't going to play, because we see teams do this. If the other stars are out, you might as well get the rest for the star that you do have. Now, this is a super important game for seeding purposes. You know, this is basically it's basically two games in one game for these teams due to how it's going to work in the standings. But the 76ers are healthy. Embiid, Harris, Simmons, all those guys are healthy. Seth Curry is back from injury. They don't have any long-term injury concerns, you know, other than keeping Embiid upright throughout the course of the playoffs. So I'm going to buy on this, and I'm going to say the Sixers are just better positioned here to finish out the regular season as the number one seed than the Nets are.
And I'm going to agree with you. I'm going to say reality. I don't think they're the better team. I think the Nets are the better team. But when the Nets basically had just Harden and Kyrie, they look like the best team in the NBA without Kevin Durant. And look, I do think, I would have to think that if they're the two seed, that they will roll over whoever is the seven, and that will sort of be their, like, I don't know, preseason again to get ready for the second round in the NBA playoffs, which is kind of crappy, to be honest with you, like, to think that the regular season people think in baseball is meaningless. The regular season in the NBA is so meaningless. To think that the Nets basically are not going to have any of their three guys together on the court at once almost the entire season, and then are the favorites to win the NBA championship, and probably could. I think the Nets are better, but I think you're right, Davis. I think the Sixers end up taking the number one, Nets get the number two, and they play their first series walking over, getting guys all back together again, and then we'll see what happens in the second round. We'll see how good they are. Joe Musgrove threw a no-hitter last time out. It was against the Rangers, and they're still counting it, even though the Rangers are a disaster this year. Zero ERAs, had a great year to start. Maybe this is the year for Joe Musgrove. And look, Frank Stanfill, my former co-host here, was in love with Joe Musgrove, Davis, 2 years ago. I made fun of him to no end. We've been waiting for this for 5 years, honestly, with him. Maybe this is the year, I don't know. But he's had a great start. Can he be perfect at the end of the night tonight? Fantasy or reality, Joe Musgrove will have a 0.00 ERA after midnight tonight, Davis. Fantasy or reality?
Well, you know why this is a reality? Because of the team that he is playing against. You know, if the Padres were having to face off against the Dodgers tonight, if they were having to, you know, go into Coors Field against the Rockies, I would say no way. But this is the Pirates lineup that he is facing tonight. Adam Frazier, Philip Evans, Brian Reynolds, Colin Moran, Kevin Newman, Gregory Polanco, Dustin Fowler, not Dexter Fowler, Dustin Fowler, Michael Perez, and then the pitcher, Tyler Anderson. I mean, maybe Philip Evans, maybe Brian Reynolds, maybe these guys would start for other Major League Baseball teams. The rest of these guys, these are quad A bats. These are guys who are going to get DFA'd. These are guys who are going to be grinding out, you know, trying to stay on 40-man rosters for the rest of their career if the Pirates ever decide to get good again. So I'm going to buy it. Musgrove is going to go six innings. He's going to give up three hits. He's going to walk one. He's going to strike out eight, and he will get the win tonight against his former team, the Pittsburgh Pirates.
Kind of wild to think that this is more probable than not. I'll play the other side just to contrarian on it. And by the way, Phil Evans, I like Phil Evans a lot and a nice guy. I hope he sticks. I mean, this has like been his fourth or fifth team and really never got a real chance. And he's actually having his best start ever to his career. I did not think that he'd be a fantasy factor at all and is off to a good start. I'm rooting for him. I think they get one run against Joe Musgrove today, Davis. I'm sorry to say. I think the third inning, they get a run somehow, some way. Usually pitchers after no hitters aren't as good. Maybe that narrative will be broken. It is a revenge game a little bit for Musgrove too, let's not forget. So he does. You do have a lot on your side in building this nice little story, but I'm going to say fantasy. I'm going to say he gives up one run over five innings, and then the Padres are up by so much they pull him because they don't need him, and then they go to the bullpen. So fantasy for me, Musgrove's ERA 0.60 at the end of today. All right, let's move on to our final topic here. We know that Aaron Rodgers has been twilighting, doing some Jeopardy hosting, and the reviews are pretty amazing, saying that he's doing a fantastic job. I've only seen a few minutes, so I'm not one to judge. I was a Jeopardy fan back in the day. Can't say that I watch a ton of it now. With Alex Trebek, rest in peace, Ken Jennings, Aaron Rodgers. Fantasy or reality is a better host than quarterback?
So this is kind of a funny question because obviously we know Aaron Rodgers is a really good quarterback, but seriously, he is so good on Jeopardy. Like, you would not believe how much of a natural he is at hosting Jeopardy. He's fantastic at it. And then, you know, the other element here is 2017, 2018, 2019. Let's just call it a spade a spade. Aaron Rodgers was a very average quarterback over those seasons. Yeah. He was not driving the offense forward the way that he used to. The Packers, especially in 2019, I mean, just one of the most overrated teams by the market I've ever seen, shoveled in money against them in that game against the 49ers in the NFC Conference Championship. This is a fiction. This is a fantasy. Aaron Rodgers is a better quarterback than a Jeopardy host, but Aaron Rodgers has clearly, he's got his career set out for him. When he's done here, we know what he's doing. This guy is going on TV. Because he famously doesn't like to spend time with his family or, do it like he just, the guy likes to work and kind of be by himself. So I think he is just going to be fantastic on TV when he's done.
Yeah, I always wonder about the motivation when some players get done. As an example, I would have never guessed, Davis, and I know that Peyton Manning has done these little Peyton's World things or whatever for ESPN or ESPN3. I would have guessed Peyton Manning would have had the most prominent TV role possible by now. And I would have been wrong on that because he's not. I don't know why. I guess maybe he just doesn't want to because he could do anything. I know Drew Brees is heading in that direction. So I'm with you here. Well, first of all, I'll say fantasy. Of course, he's a better quarterback than Jeopardy host, although he's done a good job. But I'm very perplexed with some of these because you are right. He could probably end up doing whatever he wants to do on TV. But is that a guarantee? With all the money that he's made, similarly to Peyton Manning, Super Bowl champion, maybe he just stops and doesn't do anything and doesn't do TV or anything else. So I really can't say that that's for sure. This would lead you to believe it's the direction that he wants to go. But Davis, if we did fantasy reality on Manning, it'll be on like Monday Night Football or CBS or Fox. I would have said reality. And why isn't he doing this yet?
I have no idea. I mean, I really don't know. Yeah, you're right though, because he does the commercials, he does the quarterback camp stuff. But it feels like Peyton Manning should be on Monday Night Football, Sunday Night Football, Thursday Night Football. Like, it just feels like he should be in the booth for one of those games, like Romo. Romo's great at it. Now, because we live in a brain broken internet society, that we all love Tony Romo at first, and now it's coming back the other way. And some people don't like Tony Romo and find some of his mannerisms annoying. I love Tony Romo. He's the best. I think he's great on TV. Tony Romo could do all 256 NFL games. Well, I guess there's 17 more of them this season, and I would be pleased with that. But yeah, Manning should be. I feel like that's just an obvious transition for him, and I would be curious to know if it's no one's offered him, he's not interested. I mean, maybe he just doesn't want to work that much. Maybe Peyton, maybe he just golfs and doesn't want to commit himself to traveling around the country for 20 weeks out of the year.
Yeah, I mean, some of the speculation is that Brees won't do Monday Night Football, but he's going to do Thursday Night Football. Because he wants to be around his kids on the weekend. I don't know. I say what I read, and And I don't know all that to be true. But Peyton Manning on the other side for me, Davis, too. And the other possibility is this guy could fly into New York or Los Angeles and do their studio show and be the main guy, even NBC on Sunday nights. But he has not been thus far, and he's doing virtually everything else. So you could be right, potentially. Also, Eli Manning is a possibility for any of these two. So great discussion here on some of the NFL quarterbacks and what they will do. The Blue Jays, by the way, have taken a 2-1 lead now. After the bottom of the second, their catcher, Alejandro Kirk, has hit a 2-run home run off Corey Kluber. So they have a lead there. No score between the Cardinals and Nationals. And I'll check right here as we're on the air. And the Milwaukee Brewers have a 1-0 lead already on Jake Arrieta and the Chicago Cubs. And they're still in the bottom of the first inning. A double from Jackie Bradley Jr. has scored a run. So plenty of scoring going on in baseball, and we'll keep you updated on that. Before we get out of here, we have the Sports Grid 60 coming up next. On tomorrow's show, more preview of the upcoming NFL draft. And then on Friday, we'll preview the NASCAR race this weekend. And also Gray Albright will be with us as we take a look at the waiver wire in fantasy baseball. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at SportsGrid. Also sportsgrid.com/watch. For those of you who don't feel like downloading another app, we have a great app, SportsGrid app. You can watch our show 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. But if not, and you just want to access us on the web, it is sportsgrid.com/watch. If you're listening to us on radio or you're watching us on television, that's how you can catch our show every day. We'll be back to wrap it all up with the Sports Grid 60 in just 2 minutes. So stay with us on the grid. We'll be right back.
Con el under $3 menu de McDonald's, un McChicken es solo $1.50. Resulta que ser el héroe de tu primita solo te cuesta $1.50. Por un McChicken, good deal. Solo por tiempo limitado. Precios y participación pueden variar. Precios con entrega pueden ser más altos.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. For years, Chumba's been setting the bar for online social casino fun, and it just keeps getting better. With new games released every week and daily bonuses to collect, the fun never stops. So claim your welcome bonus now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back. As we wrap it up, reminder, we'll be back tomorrow here at noon Eastern for the Thursday edition of Fantasy Sports Today. Also, don't forget, coming up later today, Scott Farrell going coast to coast with some great guests, keeping updated on all the wagering in sports, everything else happening as well. Let's turn it over to Davis as we wrap it up with the Sports Grid 60. Davis.
So I have a plea to the listeners. We have to come up with a terminology for something. So obviously, in daily fantasy baseball, we want to stack, right? We want as many players from one team as possible because we want the points to duplicate upon each other, more plate appearances, yada, yada. Everyone gets it. There needs to be a term for when a player that you don't use in your stack hits a home run, which just happened to me. I stacked the Blue Jays in this early slate on FanDuel. I have Rowdy Tellez. I have Biggio. I have Bichette. And I have Grichuk. I don't have Alejandro Kirk, who Craig just told you smoked a home run off of Corey Kluber. We need a terminology for missing out on this home run when a guy not from your stack but from your team hits a home run. So if you guys have ideas, let me know.
I'm going to start working on that. Hopefully by tomorrow I'll have it for you. The Atlantic League, minor league, which is now basically in partner with Major League Baseball as of this year, has decided one of the experiments that they're going to use is moving the pitcher's mound back. There's going to be some other rules, too, that are going to be changing, including using the DH at the beginning of the game. But if your pitcher is removed from the game, then you lose the DH. I'll get to that later on. Okay, so we're going to have a huge problem with moving the mound back, just like we have a huge problem with universal DH, just like we're going to have a huge problem with adding more teams to the postseason. Everybody seems to hate all the moves that are being made in Major League Baseball until they actually make them, and most of them end up being pretty good. Give these a chance before you make a determination. Nobody wanted an extra team in the postseason. They thought it was too much. It's watered down. Wild card's been amazing. Give these little rules a chance and see what they're like before you make your judgment. Maybe you'll end up liking them. Thank you to James at LTN and, of course, Brett, Danny, and Ryan for producing the show. For my co-host, Davis Maddock, I'm Craig Mish. Have a great day here on Sports Grid. We'll see you tomorrow.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. The rush of racing? Nothing beats it. But Chumba Casino comes close. Chumba's got fast spins, fun games, daily bonuses, and all the action you can handle. Now that's a ride. Ready to hit the throttle? Get in the driver's seat and head to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.